Welcome to the Safe Harbor Digital Community Podcast. I am your host, Angela. We are here with Dr. Jeff Colburn. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Angela.
Welcome.
Thank you. Great to be here.
So glad you're here, Jeff. Jeff, we have received several questions about the historical accuracy of the Bible. People want to know if they can really trust the events described in the Bible and the accounts of Jesus' life. How do we know that these are real events?
Well, there's a method to determine the accuracy of the events described in the Bible. And that's the same method used by historians to verify other ancient historical events.
What is that method?
Well, they use archaeological and literary evidence.
So just so our audience understands, what is archaeological and literary evidence?
Well, archaeological evidence is what has been discovered. This may be locations, inscriptions, or any other physical evidence. Whereas literary evidence is ancient accounts outside the Bible that refers to a person, place, or an event.
So before we look at this evidence, I think it would be good to give our audience a better understanding of the Bible.
Oh, absolutely. Well, it's important to understand that the Bible is not a single book, and it wasn't written by one author. It's actually a collection of 66 books divided into two testaments. You have the Old Testament, and it consists of 39 books. It originated from Judaism. This is the Hebrew Bible. This is the Tanakh, right? And the first five books of the Old Testament are the Jewish Torah, or the Law. They wrote this in Hebrew, and it covers the time prior to Jesus. Then there's the New Testament. It consists of 27 books. These were written by Jesus' followers. They wrote them in Greek, and it covers the time of Jesus and the early church.
You mentioned that it was not written by a single author. So who wrote the Bible, and when was it written?
Well, actually, the Bible is written by 40 authors and is written across thousands of years. The Bible covers a period of time of about 1,500 years, and it's made up of different genres or styles of writing. You have narrative, you have poetry, parables, wisdom, prophecy, epistles. Each has to be read and interpreted differently. I'll give you an example. Genesis 1. It's an ancient Near Eastern poetic account of creation. This was not meant to be read literally.
Another question we often hear is, why are there so many different translations?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, you have to remember that the Bible was written in Hebrew and Greek. So when you're translating, there's not always a perfect match between the original language and English. So when they're translating the Bible, some translations are more literal. They're trying to stick to the original text, where other translations are more concerned with presenting the author's original intent, and they want to use a more modern language.
So what makes some translations more literal?
Well, literal translations attempt to match each word of the original language to English.
So, but you mentioned earlier that there is not always a one-to-one match between English and the original language. What do they do if there is not a match?
In that case, the translators have to identify multiple English words that have a similar meaning. Then they go back into the original text, and they see how that word was used in other parts of the Bible. And then based upon that, they'll pick the English word which is the better match. And not all translators agree, and that's why you'll see variations in the different translations.
So which translations are more literal?
Well, if you look at the New American Standard Bible, it's more literal. It attempts to accurately match the source text, and that's when you read it, it may sound awkward, it might be difficult to understand. Then you compare that with the Message, which paraphrases the source text, and it captures the original intent of the author in a modern language, and this makes it a much easier read.
Yes. So which translation should we use?
Well, that really depends on your goal. If you're a new believer and you start reading the Bible, you want to use the Message or the New Living Translation. It's going to be a lot easier to read and understand. However, if you're conducting research or you want a more intensive Bible study, then you would use like the NASB, ESV, or a combination of more literal translations.
We talked a lot about how the Bible was written and translated. how do we know that the events are real?
Okay, well, let's begin with the Old Testament and let's look at the archaeological evidence. Now, there's new discoveries that provide evidence of the people and places described in these books. In fact, the archaeological evidence has confirmed the existence of over 50 people described in the Old Testament. And this is mainly done through ancient inscriptions.
Can you give us an example?
Sure. Let's start with David. We know he was the anointed king of Israel. He wrote the majority of the Psalms. He's described as being after God's own heart. And God promised his descendants would forever sit on the throne of Israel. Now, prior to 1993, we had no evidence outside the Bible of David's existence. And then they discovered the Tel Dan inscription, which described the victory over the king of Israel in the house of David. Now, this was written in 9th century BC in Aramaic.
What other examples can you share with us?
Well, then there's Hezekiah. He was the 13th king of Judah. He ruled during the Assyrian siege of Jerusalem in 701 BC. Now, inscribed upon a prism, which described the various military campaigns of the Assyrian king Sennacherib, Sennacherib describes the siege of Jerusalem as having Hezekiah shut up in a city like a bird in a cage.
So these inscriptions weren't written by the Jews?
No, they were actually written by foreign kings who were the enemies of the Jews at the time.
Is there evidence of other kings?
Yes, the inscriptions have been found that confirm the existence of the northern kings. There's Ahab. Now, we know Ahab from being married to Jezebel and his encounters with the prophet Elijah. And then you have Omri, you have Jehu, and then Jeroboam, right? These are just some examples. And then there's inscriptions that confirm the existence of the foreign kings described in the Bible. You have Sennacherib and Sargon II, both Assyrian kings and both known for their conquest of the northern kingdom of Israel. And then Nebuchadnezzar, right, is from Babylon, Babylonian king who destroyed Jerusalem temple in 586 BC. And then Cyrus, right, the Persian king, he allowed the Jews to return to Jerusalem. The cylinder that granted this permission to the Jews is now in the British Museum.
What about the locations in the Bible? What evidence have they found?
Well, actually, Angela, a lot of the cities mentioned in the Bible still exist today. You have Jerusalem, the city of David, where the temple was built and where Jesus died and was resurrected. It's still there today. Bethlehem, we know this is the birthplace of King David and Jesus. Again, still exists today. And then Jericho. Well, the book of Joshua describes how the city was destroyed by Joshua and the Israelites, how the city's walls fell. Well, it was later rebuilt during the reign of King Ahab, and that city still exists today. And they found archaeological evidence of the original wall.
Is there evidence of any cities that don't exist today?
Oh, absolutely. So you have the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, we know in Genesis that these two cities were destroyed. Well, not only did they find the evidence, but they found evidence of its sudden destruction around 2000 BC. And the remains of these cities are buried in layers of sulfur and ash.
Interesting. There appears to be a lot of archaeological evidence to support the Old Testament. What about the literary evidence you mentioned?
Well, when it comes to literary evidence for the Old Testament, you have to identify parallels between the Old Testament and other ancient Near East literature, meaning accounts shared between the Old Testament and those other ancient Near East literary sources. So one example is the Epic of Gilgamesh. Now, this was written in ancient Mesopotamia around 2100 BC, and it tells of a man who is warned by a god of a coming flood and is instructed to build a boat. Now, we know in Genesis, we have the account of Noah, who God warned of the coming flood and instructed him to build a boat. Well, since the Old Testament and the Epic of Gilgamesh share this flood account, we have to reason that a great flood occurred during that time.
So that brings us to what evidence do we have for the New Testament and the accounts of Jesus's life?
Well, what the New Testament provides is four independent eyewitness accounts of Jesus' life. And we know these as the Gospels. Now, the first Gospel was written within 30 years of Jesus' death and resurrection. Well, many people were still alive. They were alive during the time of Jesus, and they could have refuted these accounts. For example, the resurrection. The Romans or Jews could have produced Jesus' body, and they could have discredited the whole Christian movement. yet they were unable to do it. And what is more striking is that all of his followers believed these same events. And not only did they believe them, they suffered and died because of them. And if these were fabrications made up by his followers, I doubt they would have been willing to die for them. At least one would have told the truth when they were facing death. However, if the person you've seen brutally tortured and crucified on a cross 3 days prior comes and shares a meal with you, I think you would believe that person and you'd be willing to suffer and die for that truth. And that's what his believers did.
Is there evidence outside the New Testament, like the Old Testament?
Yes, this is referred to extra-biblical evidence. And like the Old Testament, there is archaeological and literary evidence for the events described in the New Testament.
Well, can you give some examples of the archaeological evidence?
Absolutely. So prior to 1980, there was no evidence of a boat large enough to carry Jesus and his 12 disciples. However, following a drought that lowered the water levels of the Sea of Galilee, they found a 2,000-year-old boat that could hold 15 people and that could either be rowed or sailed. Then there's another piece of evidence. They found the burial box of the high priest Caiaphas. This was found in South Jerusalem. Now, these boxes were often used as the final resting place for someone's skeletal remains. And then there's other inscriptional evidence. They found inscriptions relating to the Roman official Pontius Pilate, and we know he was responsible for Jesus' death.
What about literary evidence? Are there sources outside Christianity?
Well, there's Tacitus. He's the Roman historian who wrote that Christ was the founder of Christians and that he had been executed by Pontius Pilate during the reign of Tiberius. And this collaborates with what was written in the New Testament. Now, scholars date Jesus' death at 29 AD. Pilate governed Judea between 26 and 36 AD, and Tiberius was emperor between 14 and 37 AD. And then there's Josephus. He was a Jewish priest and historian. And he wrote about James, and he referred to him as the brother of Jesus who is called Messiah. And then Josephus mentioned others from the New Testament. He talked about John the Baptist, Caiaphas, who was the high priest during Jesus' trial, and Ananias, who was the high priest during Paul's trial.
From this evidence, can we be sure, though, that Jesus is real?
Angela, no historian will deny that Jesus is a real historical figure and that he was crucified by Roman authorities. Yes, based upon this evidence, we can be sure that Jesus is real.
Thank you, Jeff. From what you shared, there seems to be a lot of evidence outside the Bible to validate its historical accuracy. I would like to thank our audience for listening to the Safe Harbor Digital Community Podcast. I hope this helped you to understand how we can trust the events of the Bible and the accounts around Jesus' life. If you have a question about God, Jesus, the Bible, the church, or Christianity, you may submit your question through our website at digitalsafeharbor.org or email me at questions@digitalsafeharbor.org. I hope you will join us for next week's episode. Have a great day, and God bless.